The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfume oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sister sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, but he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still there where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up and quickly go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The greatest theologian in the Catholic Church. A theologian is one that studies theology, the science of God. He studies God. So the greatest theologian of the Catholic Church, St. Thomas Aquinas, was once asked, "What God does all day?"
And his answer was, he enjoys himself. And he went on to explain that God rests in the perfection and goodness of his own existence, and in that he finds unsurpassable joy. That goodness and that joy that God possesses gives itself away. It overflows, he remarks. It bubbles over, is the translation. It exudes. And so God's sheer joy then creates, because of the joy, can't help but share that joy. And so it creates. It creates the universe. It creates man and woman made in his image. It creates that, those readings that we will soon at the Vigil Mass go through the history of creation. The universe. The joy of creation, of something new. God wants to share that joy with us. And so he becomes man. And in the same gospel reading that we just read of the raising of Lazarus, he also states that on the night before he died, he was crucified, he told his disciples, I have told you these things that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. That joy that the Creator has that overflows, and he creates to share that love, that joy with you and I. We are made for nothing else than divinity. We are made for nothing else than complete, unadulterated, perfect happiness and joy that can begin here, but will only be completed when we are before the face of God. His joy, his divinity, will be our joy and our divinity. And we have to live our lives with that in our minds, with that in our thoughts, in our hearts, in the way we talk, we think, we act, especially when we're at church before the Blessed Sacrament. Catholic Church, my brothers and sisters, is indeed about doctrine, about liturgy, about sacraments, about the saints, about art, about the architecture. You go to Europe, you can't fathom how this was built without cranes, specifically with math and all the different tools that they had at the time that give glory to God. The church is about councils, clergy, bishops through the centuries, passing on for us the truth of its teaching. Sinful bishops, sinful clergy, like you and I all are, but yet ordained to serve and fallen and forgiven and moving on. Council and popes. But in the final analysis, my brothers and sisters, it is about the sharing of the joy of God with every creature that he has made. God has joy in the insect, but the joy that he has beyond that we don't have words for is when he sees you and me. He sees himself in you and I, because we are made in his image. And so the church is that vehicle. And on the night when he said, I have given you, I told you all the things, what he was, had done, he had established his church, Peter. And then showed him the sacrament, showed him the institution of the Eucharist. All the things that we know as Catholics. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, does my faith, does my life reflect that death is not the end of the story, like in Lazarus? The amazing thing, you have to go back and read Lazarus. He got up and he ate. And then the Jews actually started getting mad at Lazarus again. They were actually arguing with the man that had been dead, and that he knew that he was dead. I mean, just imagine that. Somebody coming back from life, and then he's eating, and then you're arguing. I don't know what they were saying, just, why did you come back? But now you made us like liars. So my brothers and sisters, does the reality of eternity and every decision we make, does it reflect the love of God and what is about to happen? What about to happen is that we're going to die. Death, judgment, and resurrection is something that we must live. Last we look, and when we get in the car looking at our speedometer and seeing how fast we are going, we have to look and see how we are in this path of life. And it's clear, because it is the Spirit of God that we must live with. In the first reading of Ezekiel, he states, I will open your graves and have you rise from them. I will put my Spirit in you that you may live. And Paul states that in his second reading. He says, my brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we are flesh, but we are and must become tabernacles for the Spirit of God. Now, we're about to become a tabernacle as we consume his host, but we become a constant tabernacle by adoration of the host God comes to us in two ways. In the Word, and the book is carried up, that is Christ and His Word that we read, and now the bread that becomes His presence, His flesh and His blood. We must become tabernacles of His Word and tabernacles of His flesh, and adoring Him, consuming Him, so that when Paul says, whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. It's only the Spirit of God that dwells in you, then God can recognize and God can say, come and share and live the kingdom that has been established for you since the beginning of time. So we must look at ourselves continually, young and old. Life is short. Does the Spirit of God dwell in me? Or the Spirit of the world dwell in me? Is our view of our reality, is our reality, our personal little tiny little world, is it a biblical one? Or is it one of the world, one of secularism? Paul goes on in his letter that states, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Jesus in Holy Scripture states, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way easy, that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it few. Jesus never misses word. He is clear. He makes clear that drifting along the contemporary culture will not lead us to heaven, but rather to hell. To hell. That word that we may not hear a lot, but to hell. Jesus makes clear that He is the way to heaven, the bridge, St. Catherine of Siena says, between heaven and earth. So my brothers and sisters, as we begin now, next Sunday, Passion, the Palm Sunday, and the Passion of our Lord, let us reflect on the big picture of our lives. That speedometer to see how slow we're going or how fast are we going. Are we in line with the biblical view of life of man and woman on earth? Let us reflect on the reality of Satan in our lives, the horror of sin, the price paid for our salvation, the shortness of life, the consequences of our choices, the reality of judgment, heaven or hell. Having a clear vision of this big picture, continually, but reflecting and having the Spirit of God, praying, adoring the host, consuming the host, then the picture will change how we live, how we choose, then begin to see what really, really matters in our lives is to see the face of God. And when we do that, then we're like the sparrows, that we don't worry because God is taking care of us from the beginning of our conception until our timely or untimely death. And then having the Spirit then of God, then He will also call us from our graves. And then when we face Him and see this vision of God, then we'll recall and say, yes, I remember. I remember when I heard in Scripture and Paul said, and in the Old Testament, it is true. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Never could I have even imagined what you have prepared for me, conceived for me since the beginning of time. My God, my God, my God, what have you prepared for me? So let us prepare ourselves. Let us be ready for this Lent. Let us be ready for our will in our lives as God, Christ, man, made man, had His will. Not easy, narrow, but we have all the tools to do it right. We fall, we have the mercy of God, we have the sacraments. Glory be to God that we are in the fold of the Holy Mother Catholic Church. We pray for ourselves, for our brothers and sisters, and for the world.